This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI Audio and AMI TV. It's Friday, and it's another edition of AMI at the Movies. And before we catch up with Michael McNeely, we've got a trailer from the film The Night House.
A lone house stands on a precipice overlooking a dark lake. A woman enters, catching her breath, soaked. Searchlight pictures.
All houses wherein men have lived and died are haunted houses.
Noises wake her.
Through the open doors,
a shadow lurks.
The harmless phantoms on their errands glide. With feet that make no sound upon the floors,
bloody footprints appear.
We meet them at the doorway. On the stair, along the passages, they come and go. Palpable impressions on the air. A sense of something moving to and fro.
The word "here" is written on a steamy mirror. The woman is dragged out and strangled by unseen hands.
Goodness gracious, I don't know if I'm going to make it to Halloween. I can no longer tolerate horror movies. But you know who can? It's Michael McNeely. He's our entertainment critic, and he's sticking with the horror genre heading into Halloween. And Michael joins us from Kingston, Ontario. Hey, good morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm well. Nice to chat with you once again. Michael, what is The Night House about?
Well, that's to say you don't want to spend a night in a night house. From the trailer, we could see that Beth, who is played by Rebecca Hall, is mourning the loss of her husband, Owen, and she is ultimately living in a house that he built for her. It's kind of like a lake house, and it's one of those modern houses that has windows everywhere. So you don't really get a lot of privacy, and that's part of the problem. You see, Beth feels that she's being haunted or being, I guess, well, that's plagued by apparitions or ghosts, and she wonders if those ghosts have anything to do with her husband.
The film itself touches on elements of mental health. Do you think the film did a good job with this?
So I think it's something that we've been covering on this segment, is how horror films interplay with mental health. Some of them do a good job, some of them don't. And I think one of the challenges is that you don't necessarily go to a horror film to learn more about mental health. So with that being said, I do think that the depiction of mental health in this film is fairly complex. It's possible to look at this film as if it's a metaphor for someone's mental health after they've lost a significant partner or after they're dealing with trauma. But then again, there's also the caveat that, you know, you don't want to have everyone think that this is what mental health is like, because mental health experiences are different for everybody.
Rebecca Hall plays the main character. What did you think of her performance?
In short, I thought her performance was exceptional. I thought that she played all the emotions extremely well. She played every emotion that I could think of when you're thinking about losing a loved one. I really enjoyed some of the challenging acting that she took on, because she's a teacher as well, and I enjoyed those scenes in the classroom and at the school, because she's basically just at the point where she doesn't care about anything. And when she doesn't care about anything, she says some really funny stuff. Even though you kind of feel sorry for her at the same time, she basically tells her mom that she doesn't care if her kid gets a C or a B or an A. And I was just relating to that because I was a high school teacher a long time ago, and sometimes I had parents that would fight me just for that 1% extra grade. And I think during the terrifying sequences, and don't get me wrong, there are some really terrifying sequences in this film, she does a great job of showing the fear everywhere.
When we talked about Halloween Kills in recent weeks, we discussed how there are different types of horror films. Which types are your favorites?
Well, I'm starting to, I think I've always enjoyed the social horror genre. And basically, for lack of a better definition, it's just whenever a horror film touches on social issues, what makes those social issues part of the main experience of the film. So I think lately slashers have gotten a little bit too tiring for me, a little bit stale. And I just appreciate the horror films that are really about characters and you get to know somebody before you kill them off. So that's my main point, Dave.
Does that mean The Night House will be one of them going forward, one of your favorites?
I think for 2021, it's a standout. I think 2020's film, Relic, which we'll talk about in the next few questions, is better in some ways. But The Night House, I think once you go to The Night House, you'll never be the same again.
So just before we get to your list of horror films for us to enjoy heading into Halloween, what would you rate The Night House out of 10?
I think I would say it's a strong 7 out of 10. And I think it's worthy of a rewatch because I learned some things at the end that would cause me to go back and watch it again. And so maybe the second time I watch it, I would rate it higher because I would know what I'm looking for and I already have the ending in mind.
Okay, so Michael, we are in the crux of Halloween season. So before you leave us, you wanted to share 5 horror movies, your top 5 for us to enjoy. What are they?
So let's start with Relic, which is on Netflix now, and we covered it last year. And it's also about mental health. It's about dementia. It's about the house that we live in and how it can traumatize us forever. And I was terrified and also happy at the same time because it does have a strangely happy ending. So definitely recommend that. My next film would be The Fog, which stars Adrian Barbeau and is one of John Carpenter's best films, even alongside with The Thing and, you know, Assault on Precinct 13. I think The Fog is really about the small town, how a small town was dealing with a catastrophe, dealing with an emotional catastrophe as well as an environmental one. And Adrian Barbeau plays you, Dave. She plays a radio announcer in the midst of a trauma. And she tries to keep everybody together, and so I appreciated that. I'm cheating here, but instead of one film, I'm going to give you 3 films. I'm going to give you Dawn of the Dead, I'm going to give you Day of the Dead, and I'm also going to give you Night of the Living Dead. And I didn't even give it to you in the right order, but that doesn't matter because they're kind of standalone anyway. And I'm talking, of course, about the originals from Mr. George Romero, who I had the honor of meeting before he passed away. Zombies. What else do I need to say? But the zombies are social metaphors. For example, Night of the Living Dead was looked at as a response to Vietnam, as well as racism in America. So I do think that they stand the test of time as social commentary, which is what I'm looking for. If you're going to make a horror film, stand out. I need to have some social commentary as well. My next film that I would like to talk about will be Wicker Man. And so I'm now talking about the Nicolas Cage version because I know Nicolas Cage eats the scenery like there's no tomorrow. But I'm essentially thinking about the original version. And the original version is also a meditation on grief and mental health, as well as sexual liberty and sexual freedom, which is, of course, something that was being dealt with at that time the film came out. Finally, last but not least, the best mental health horror film is probably Hereditary. Have you seen that yet, Dave?
I have not seen Hereditary because I can't watch horror movies anymore, Michael. They scare me too much.
I'm so sorry, Dave. If there's any consolation, we can find a children's movie next week. anyway, Hereditary starts off as an indie, film. And you're stuck there. I was stuck in a theater. I was thinking, is this even a horror film? Did I even go to the right film? And then, bam, it scares you. It scares you about an hour in. And I'm just like, okay, that takes guts. Because you just basically ramped up the tension at that point, and you scared the crap out of me. So, good job. So, those are my 5-8 movies that you can think about for a rainy day.
I love it. I love it when Michael McNeely uses his taste-making skills for us. Michael, thank you for this. Have a great day. Enjoy the horror movies this weekend.
You too, Dave. Maybe we can start you off with Beetlejuice, because I don't think that's too frightening. Then we can go to the Addams Family.
Yeah, we'll work my way up there. We'll do what we can. That's our entertainment critic, Michael McNeely. He reviewed the horror film The Night House, which is available in select theaters across Canada and is rated 14A. You can also find it on Apple TV Plus and iTunes with audio description and closed captioning. Again, I want to remind you guys, there was a point in my life where I was an avid horror film watcher. But now, when I see horror movies, I can't sleep right for days. And Papa Bear needs his sleep. Coming up after the break, we'll get to Andy Frank for the big business story of the day. This is Now with Dave Brown on AMI. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.